On this November 11th in the year of our Lord 2015, we are going to be examining a thesis from C.F.W. Walther's Law and Gospel, number 25. You are not rightly distinguishing law and gospel in the Word of God if you do not allow the gospel to predominate in your teaching. I think that's often misunderstood, and we're going to take a look at how it can be misunderstood and how it can be understood rightly. And what a better day to do this. This is Veterans Day. In fact, it is also the day when World War I ended. One would imagine that at all the veterans' celebrations, there's going to be a lot of good news in the sense of honoring those who fought in the wars to protect this country from being overtaken, protect us to have the freedom of religion, and so forth. Yes, there will be some bad news about those who died and those who still suffer from the loss of loved ones, but I'll bet you predominantly all the veterans' speeches will be positive. This is what we're talking about in the distinction between law and gospel, particularly in a sermon. What C.F.W. Walther is talking about is that when a sermon is given, people should walk away with the understanding that the gospel has been predominant. Now sometimes they don't realize what the gospel was. They may not understand gospel from law, but they just have been comforted. One of the things I like doing in a sermon is not only using the distinctions between law and gospel, but explaining how I'm using them. And why do I do that? Because I believe that in time, the laity can so become enamored with the distinctions between law and gospel that they use them also in their witnessing. So what are we talking about here? When we say that the gospel needs to predominate, that doesn't mean that the percentage for the gospel in the sermon has to be higher than the percentage of law spoken. No, we do not mean that. For example, you may go to a doctor and you've got a real headache and he examines you and he spends 10 minutes talking about why you have this headache. Yeah, he may explain it from a medical point of view, obviously. Maybe it's something that you ate. Maybe it's tension or whatever. But in the last 2 minutes of conversation, he gives you the treatment. And he says, if you go and get this prescription and you take 2 pills a day, that headache will go away. Now, see, he only talked 2 minutes out of maybe 15 in regard to the treatment. But that is what you remember. You probably immediately go to the drugstore and get that prescription filled, take it home, use it, and boy, you do feel better. See, this is what we mean by predominate. For example, there are some texts that it takes quite a while to get the law across. Last week we preached on the widow's mite. And the point we were trying to make, this is not really a passage for a stewardship sermon, or it's even about money. It was instead about the law. Remember, the scribes, they would give more money than did the widow, even though Jesus says she gave more than all of them. Because the word more there wasn't referring to the amount of money. And the problem with the scribes is they gave, it said, from their abundance. And we pointed out that another translation for that word would be they gave from their surplus. In other words, they had their money. They set aside what they felt they needed to keep their lifestyle at the level it was. And then from the surplus, they gave to God. See, there was no need for trust. See, this is all law. This is showing why these people were being criticized by Jesus. They weren't being criticized because the amounts they gave. They were being criticized for their unbelief, for their not trusting that God would take care of them. In contrast to the widow, who did trust in God, and that's why she gave her all. So the point I'm making here is, yes, the gospel came through, but the majority of the sermon was showing how we are just like those scribes. We often grumble at God. We often feel we don't have enough. And we say, boy, if I had more, I would be such a better Christian. Well, that's ridiculous. And this is the actually the 21st way. I know it's thesis 25, but the first four are talking about what long gospel is, what long gospel is not, etc. So C.F.W. Walther says that one of the problems that preachers have is that they predominate with the law rather than with the gospel. Now, he first of all points out a number of Bible verses that clearly indicate how people are saved. Mark 16, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelical preacher. Fulfill your ministry. And we know that the term evangelical comes from euangelion. That's a Greek word. And that is the gospel. Or we got 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5, and 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Well, what's Paul talking about, the letter? He's talking about the coming of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And remember that old covenant? We've said this 100 times. Exodus 24, all these things we will do and obey. You see, there are a lot of pastors who believe that their goal as a pastor is get the people to become more Christian. But that misunderstands what being a Christian is. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you do more good works than an unbeliever. In fact, there are probably unbelievers that, from a human point, do more good works than some Christians do. For example, it could be a wealthy unbeliever who helps feed the poor, who builds hospitals, who does all kinds of what we would call wonderful work in the secular realm to help out people. So you would say, wow, he is really wonderful. But in reality, those good works, if not done in Christ, are all out of self-service. I mean, he feels good about himself when he's able to do these things. So the amount of works doesn't count. In fact, as we have heard a number of times out of Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, both the cursed and the blessed probably visit people in prison, give drink to the thirsty, food to the hungry. Then why are the sheep commended? Because they do it out of faith in Jesus Christ. And the cursed do not have that faith. In fact, this is really important that we need to understand that true salvation comes about by the faith that the Holy Spirit has given us. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Walter says, woe to the preacher who preaches other things. Woe to him if, in order to make people God-fearing, he had preached the law because he thought that the pure, untainted grace of God would not save them. If he has done that, he has been an unfaithful servant. I can't tell you how many sermons I listen to on radio, of course not KFUO, but other radio stations, that give you the impression that you want to be saved, then you must really be doing the law of God. That's a way that you can be assured you're saved, that you're doing good works, and that your sins are less this week than they were last week. Well, that is improper preaching of the law. Because I've often said here, proper preaching of the law would move a person to confess that their sins today are worse than their sins yesterday. Now, how can that be? Well, because upon greater reading of Scripture, you find out other areas of sin that you were unaware of. Plus, you not only have all those sins of commission, but look at all those sins of omission. In fact, the longer you preach to your people in the way that Scripture describes, the more they will give praise to God for having such a pastor. A pastor should have a very joyous attitude, and that's not possible if the law is predominant. The only way that a pastor can be joyous about the law is they give the impression that, boy, if you obey God, then you'll get more blessings. See, that sounds like good news. And that isn't good news. Because God does not decide his blessings on the basis of your obedience. He decides his blessings on the basis of whether you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And when you do, tell me what happens to you that is not a blessing. That's right. I'm serious. As you look back on your life and see all the so-called terrible things that have happened to you, some of them you can understand how they worked out to your good, how they worked out better. I made that comment in a sermon recently. I had gone to see a shut-in, and I'd even phoned them. I'll be there at 3. So I came to the house, knocked on the door, nobody was home. So I went to QT, got a hot dog. After that, I went back to the house, kept knocking, nobody was home. So that night I phoned and I said, you know, I was there at 3, and the daughter of the shut-in said, no, we were in the front room. We had the front door was even open. The garage door was open, and there was a car in the driveway. I said, no, the doors were closed. The garage door was closed. There was no car in the driveway. And then she said something that got me interested. She said, you know, a lot of these blocks, we have the same houses on them, and others have made this mistake. You may have gone to the wrong house. Well, I didn't think I went to the wrong house. So the next day, made another appointment with her, went back, and sure enough, I had turned left at the second street rather than the third street. I mean, the house looked the very same, and it wasn't. I had gone to the wrong house. And that evening, before I went back to them, I said, why would God do that? I mean, it was a 50-mile round trip. Why would I have had to make a second trip? Well, that night, I got a call from another pastor who wanted me to make a visit to a lady who was seriously ill in the hospital. And guess what? The hospital I was going to was not that far from the shut-in's house. See, there I kind of figured out, oh, yeah, now I know what God is doing. He was taking care of seeing two people the next day. You know, that's the message we give. Yes, the law is necessary. Why? Well, there's two reasons why you preach the law in the church. I'm going to give the second reason first. And that is, when you become a Christian, you do not spontaneously know the will of God. In other words, you don't become omniscient. You don't know all things. So God has to teach you what his will is. And that comes about by a hearing of the law. That is a proper use of the law. Like somebody may say, "Boy, I don't love my spouse anymore. Have I got the right to leave them?" And then you go to the Bible and find out, no, you don't, for better or for worse. Plus, God's not going to leave you alone. You can get help from a pastor or a Christian counselor and regain that love, which you really haven't lost, because love isn't a feeling, it's an attitude. And it's an attitude of being willing to stay with one through bad things and good things. So the law of God is very, very important still for us, because it gives us guidance. It's called a rule or a guide in its third use. But the primary use of the law, particularly for sermons, is to accuse you of your inability to do anything to get right with God. You see, this goes against common sense. Because where do we learn common sense? We learn it from the secular realm, the temporal realm. We learn that if you study hard, you'll go to the next grade. If you do a lot of good work, you may get a promotion. If you're very nice to somebody going out on a date, you might be able to marry that person. See, in the temporal realm, what you do does make a difference. And that's the way God set it up. It's not wrong to do hard work at work in order to get a promotion. That's not a sin. But it is a sin when you try to do hard work to get to heaven. Because you are making the assumption that you can offset your sins, which of course you cannot. Because God demands perfection all the time. So once you make one sin, it's impossible to do more than perfection. And see, that's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law in preaching is to show that when God criticizes someone, he never criticizes them only for their sin, even though it might be a big sin from a human point of view. The criticism is always for the unbelief behind that sin. And by the way, the opposite is also true. God never commends someone just for a good work. If he is commending someone, it's always for the faith behind that good work. And that's why he does not commend the goats. In the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, because they have no faith. And therefore, they never do a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the only good work that God considers as important. So when we're talking about that the gospel needs to be predominant, it's kind of like eating a meal. And boy, at home I was always told I had to eat my vegetables. And why would I eat them? Well, I'd eat them because if I didn't, I wasn't going to get dessert. But boy, sometimes my mom would make a pie and put ice cream on it or whipped cream. Oh, so you were willing to go through the hard part in order to get the good part. And if somebody said, "What you think of the meal?" "Oh, was that pie ever good?" You see, the dessert predominates the meal. So also in preaching. It may mean sometime that equal time will be given to the law and the gospel. It may even be sometimes that the gospel is more there, percentage-wise, than the law. But the fact of the matter is, to predominate means that when the people walk out, they have a comfort in their hearts, a joy in their hearts, and an assurance of salvation, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for them. That is what CFW Walther is talking about when he says that we need to predominate with the gospel. He even quotes from Martin Luther as he says, he tells us to preach the real gospel with its comfort without hesitation and not to fear that we would preach people into hell with the gospel. Now, there's no doubt that there are those who take carnal comfort from the gospel thinking, hey, if I'm forgiven, I can do anything I want. But no, what we need to do is take a very close look on what we are preaching. And by the way, all this also entails for a Bible study. If you're doing an interpretation of a text, you should put the paradigm of law and gospel over it to see, okay, where is law here where God is really criticizing a person for their lack of faith? Where is gospel here where God is commending someone because they have faith? This way, we have a proper preaching of law and gospel. You see, the idea that a preacher's job is to get people to behave better assumes, therefore, that works are a way of salvation. Now, works are definitely necessary in this sense. They're not necessary for you to be saved. But when you have proper faith, they necessarily occur spontaneously. It's kind of like a child. When your child comes home and eats dinner, watches the television you gave them, wears the clothes you gave them, sleeps in the bed you gave them, that doesn't make them your child. None of those works make them your child. That child is yours either because of being begotten or being adopted. But how can someone know whose child somebody is? Well, what home do they go to after school? Where do they eat? Where do they get their clothes? Where do they get their bed, etc.? So the works a child does gives you evidence of who their parents are, but it doesn't make them the children. That's how the gospel predominates, because they became a child by the work of Jesus Christ. This long gospel we're continuing to teach at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, 9733 Olive, on Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. We're going through parables, and we're also teaching the same class at Trinity, and that's in Orchard Farm, Missouri, kind of near St. Charles. And that's at 7 o'clock on Thursday evenings. So if you want an up front where you can ask questions, you can attend either one of those Bible classes. This week I will be preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm on Sunday morning, and we've got another sermon here with a question at the beginning that most Lutherans get wrong, and I'm looking forward to doing that. By the way, Long Gospel here on KFUO, we do pay for being here, and we're somewhat short on having the funds. So if you would like to donate to Law and Gospel, we're not tax deductible, but we are going to be giving a gift to all those who donate to Law and Gospel. I already mentioned one this past week you can get. And that gift is, of course, a nice little book about how families with homosexual children can minister to their children. That's free to anybody who gives a gift. Now, how do you give a gift? Well, at the end of the program, you will hear the address to which you may send your gift, and also you make the checkout to Law and Gospel. Don't make it out to KFUO, because that gift goes directly to KFUO and is not considered as part of the Law and Gospel payment. So it needs to be made out to Law and Gospel. And I just heard yesterday that a set of congregations are sending us a gift. We really appreciate that. So Listen, after this, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Wes Reimnitz on Rumination Thursday. And the thing I want you to listen to, does the gospel predominate when we're talking about other issues in the world? And so there are a number of issues that we talk about on Thursday. That's why we call it rumination, an opportunity for two pastors to ruminate, to think about, to meditate upon, to discuss an issue. And I want you to be listening and make sure that the gospel predominates. Because if the gospel doesn't predominate, then we're just kind of giving a lecture or something along those lines. So we would hope that you would tune in. Once more, please listen how you might be able to share your wealth with Law and Gospel so we can stay on KFUO after this year. And we're looking forward to having you listen directly after I stop speaking here because you'll get the directions. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.